This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Thank you, Turner. Love that. That's a man that rededicated his life to Christ right there. Okay, so I appreciate that boldness. We're going to be talking about that a little bit today with Timothy. Some boldness, so let's get right down to business. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy towards the very end of the New Testament. 2 Timothy. You know, last week we celebrated our teens coming back from Falls Creek. As I just mentioned, Turner rededicated his life to Christ. We had two young people fairly new with us on Wednesday evenings that committed their life to Christ, that gave their life to Christ, Jordan and Hayden. So different Hayden than the Hayden that's here today, and different Hayden than the Hayden that's here today. So we have three Haydens, but one Hayden that's not here today committed his life to Christ, as did his friend Jordan. Continue to pray for them and lift them up. What a difference that made in their lives, and how happy they were to do it while they were down at Falls Creek. Not while they were down there, but they did it while they were down there. And in talking to them at Falls Creek, they were just thrilled to do it and very excited about what life is going to be about now. And we're going to talk about that today. Last week, my message was, welcome to ministry. People are like, I'm not a pastor. I didn't say you were. Welcome to ministry. When you accept Christ, you become a minister. You are now in ministry. You're in the battlefield. You're out there in the workforce. You are one of his ambassadors, one of his representatives, and you are one of his soldiers. So today in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is where we'll be. Only a couple verses, but we're going to dissect those. 1 Timothy, it said, read, encourage, and teach. I'm going back to last week. So 1 Timothy last week said, read, encourage, and teach to be an example to others. Well, how can I be an example? It said in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity, you are an example of what Christ wants from you. This message from 2 Timothy this week, you're going to love this. It's called, How's Your Sermon Coming? Welcome to ministry. How's your sermon coming? Okay, and it's a question we have to ask ourselves. Oh, goodness, I didn't prepare for Sunday. You know how many dreams I have had that I showed up for church and I'm there without a Bible, I'm there without my message, and I had this nice message, and I'm preaching in front of thousands of people. And I'm calling Cindy, going, Cindy, could you bring my message? She's like, you're out of town. I can't get it to you. We have to be prepared to give our sermon at any time. So 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says this, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering or patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own fleshly desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Now, last week in 1 Timothy, it said, hey, don't listen to old wives' tales and fables. Here it says, these people will be called away from the truth, and they'll start listening to old fables. They want to be entertained. They don't want to hear the truth. They want somebody to entertain them. It's okay to be entertained a little bit, so long as you're getting the truth. But there's pastors out there that will just want to entertain people. And that's it. And the truth is hard to find in the midst of that. It says, preach the word. Fulfill your ministry. Those two things said right there. How's your sermon coming? Preach the word. How do I preach the word? By your words, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity again. That's your example. That is your sermon. That is your ministry. You do it through the way you act. When you leave here and you're talking to people, at work, at home, friends, at school. The things you say, the way you act, your gestures, your motions, all those things are your sermon. And trust me, I don't care how small your church is, you always have an audience that's watching your sermon and listening to your sermon. They're always watching. Right now, we've got little ones, not you little teens, but we have little ones all about here watching us. Aaron, when you came in and everybody was clapping and Roy walked right down that aisle and he started clapping, I'm telling you, he is watching. When we first started coming to this church, Austin was not quite a year old. In that first or second year, when we'd raise our hands, guess what he would do? He'd raise his hands. The little ones are watching our sermon. They're watching what we are teaching and preaching. Your Christian life, your walk, your journey is your sermon. So 2 Timothy verse 4, going further, verse 6. Verse 6 through 8 says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing." Anybody can start something. Anybody can become a Christian that believes, calls on the name of Jesus Christ, follows him. That's a high number, not as high as we need and want it to be in this world we live in. But here's why also. But being faithful to follow him and to be obedient to the end is much more difficult, is it not? Those numbers are low, the people that commit and stay to the end. Paul is doing a quick recap of his life here. He's looking at his past, his present, and his future in verse 6 through 8. He knows what his past has been like, by the way. He had his conversion when he was out trying to persecute Christians, dragging them off to jail and prison, killing them, having them killed. And then the Lord spoke to him and blinded him. But then, God was able to transform his heart. There is not a person here, or a person that's not here, that he can't transform their heart. Paul, does it get any worse than that for Christians? Somebody that is out trying to kill you and your friends, your fellow believers, than Paul? You can imagine how scared they were when all of a sudden he comes and says, "Hey, I'm one of you now. Come on, let's go preach the gospel." Hang on a minute. I don't know about this, because last week you were doing this. And I'm telling you, some of you, as you may have experienced in your life, or you may experience when people, when you've had a transformation of your heart and your life with Christ, or rededication, they may say, "That's the same person I used to know, because we used to do this and we used to go there and we used to..." Yeah, it can happen. Paul had this transformation where he's looking at his past. He's looking at the present saying, "Here's where I am now. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And he's looking towards his glorious future. And he says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me." That's not a crown of royalty. That's a crown of victory. Crown athletes used to get when they finished something. So this isn't about being royal and having that type of crown. This is about finishing the race and finishing it strong enough to be a winner and having him give you that crown. We can start things, but few finish it strong. Few finish it, and even fewer finish it strong. when Paul is writing to Timothy, he's doing this and giving these words to encourage him, to motivate him, and really he's doing it for us as well. It gets hard to keep pressing on some days, does it not? It gets hard. We're going to look at a couple principles from this, from these verses that make up Paul's sermon that he has. And it's going to help us make up our sermon. The first one is multiply or disciple others. The first thing that we do that helps our sermon is make disciples, multiply ourselves. Paul calls Timothy to preach the word in verse 2. Simply says, preach the word. He does tell him, be ready in season and out of season. I think Susie said this morning as we were talking about that, she said, yeah, leaders, they say, always have an elevator speech ready. Something that in a minute's notice you can give that. You can lead people, you can motivate them, you can teach them, you can help them. Be ready in season and out of season. Paul says, I'll be gone soon and I need another biblical teacher to teach the churches so that the churches continue on. Jesus' ministry, how long was it? Good 30, 40 years in ministry? No, 3 years in ministry. 3 years in ministry, and he was able to multiply and make disciples. And here we are today. Because of them. And some of you are here today because of other people here today. We have to multiply ourselves. Matthew 28 calls all Christians, it says, go and make disciples. We're called to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, Paul said, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. He says, be an example of me. Why? Because I'm an example, a representative of Jesus Christ. I'm his ambassador. I represent him. You can also be my ambassador and represent me, which is thus representing Christ. Because that's who I represent. And that's who I'm imitating. I asked the youth group this several weeks back. And I'm going to ask you guys the same thing. What did you do this past week that made you look most like Christ? Think about that. When were you most Christ-like in this past week? Did you do something or say something or help somebody in a manner that helped them, that motivated them, that encouraged them, that was there for them when they needed you when others weren't? What did you do this past week that made you look most like Christ? Just think about that for a second. That was a fun one. Here's a tough one. What did you do this past week that made you least like Christ? What did you say? What did you do that made you least like Christ? That's a tough one we don't like to ask ourselves. Should we have the boldness to ask ourselves? We surely don't want to answer it. Because that usually amounts to admitting sin or disobedience. But it's important. How's your sermon coming? And I don't know. Tell me when you were most like Christ. Let's hear about it. How's your sermon coming? Let's hear about when you were least like Christ in this past week. We have to think about those things. When we're discipling others, when we're multiplying ourselves, think about when we're most Christ-like and least Christ-like. In the things we do, the things we say, and the way and manner that we speak to one another. We have to disciple others. Who are you investing in? Who are you currently investing in? When you depart this earth, who will continue your ministry? And by the way, that ministry may just be you going out and helping people, not with a name. I'm with this group, I'm with this, I'm in this position, I'm in that position. It's just being a minister and the things you do day in and day out, that you help others in need. That's your ministry. You will continue that when you depart this earth. So number one, multiply or disciple others. Number two, we must constantly battle. What? We got to fight all the time? Not with each other. Don't battle each other. Let's relax a little bit. But Paul saw the Christian life as a constant spiritual struggle. Verse 7, he says, I fought the good fight, and it was through hard and great effort and great energy. Because it doesn't always come easy being a Christian, does it? Things happen. Things come against us. Battling against the flesh. Oh, Lord, not the flesh again. Lust and anger and pride. Spiritual apathy. Think about that fleshly one. Spiritual apathy. Successful Christians fight and they continue to fight day in and day out. Remember several months ago I did a message and I talked about a righteous man will fall seven times. And it says he will rise up seven times. The successful Christian will fight. He will not lay there and give up. The worldly Christian simply gives up and is led by the flesh and usually enjoys it. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to the present world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Renewing of your mind. Turner, you rededicated your life to Christ. Okay. That takes a constant renewing of the mind. Okay, you're a young man. I'm a much older man. You're going to have many years and many days of renewing that every day. Pray for God to protect your heart and your mind and your soul so that you can be successful to continue that fight day in and day out. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Through 20. I was just going to make a reference here, but it was just so good I had to get the whole thing in there, so I'm going to cover that. It's talking about putting on the whole armor of God. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Well, it helps to be strong and be faithful and continue on and getting up every time we fall down when you have those words of encouragement. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And we hear that a lot. And we think, whoo, that's a bunch of fancy stuff. What does that mean? That means there is evil out there in the world. And we have to battle against it. That's who we get to battle against. Constantly. Because that enemy is there. Just knocking every day. Verse 13 says, Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the word of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That was nice. Young people, you have to get in this. And you have to learn this. And you have to know what it says. Okay? For a couple of reasons. To stand up against false teachers, false doctrine, people that want to take this away from you, take your faith away from you. And it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador. Now, he happens to be in jail, but he says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Knowing that word of God helps us be able to speak boldly of our faith. We have to be able to know it and be able to fight the enemy. There are several places in here that tell us about the evil one. There's several places that said, hey, protect yourself against the evil one, and here's different ways you can do that. You can stand against him by doing these things. But we have to be prepared to battle against the enemy. And this is going to be the way to do it. We have to be ready for it every day. Number three, endure to the end. That's a tough one. Endure to the end. We don't know if the end is a short while or a long while. But it tells us in Corinthians to run the race. And it tells us here, he tells us, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. He has endured to the end. He knows his end is near. All of us have our own race to run, and it looks differently for all of us. David runs quite a ridiculous race in cross country. Okay? But that's why he's got medals and those things to show for it. Because he runs a different race. That's his race. Our race looks different than his. Listen to this. When you want to or need to endure to the end, take encouragement from godly saints along the way. You know, I ran a 5K a handful of years back. It wasn't pretty, but I finished. And a couple weeks later, we did the family relay in the Oklahoma City Memorial Marathon. And I had the 10K part of that. A little tougher. It was even less pretty than the 5K was. But I stayed till the end and I finished it. But let me tell you what encouraged me so much. When those feet were, well, they were always like bricks, but when they were bigger bricks, cinder blocks, when they got even bigger and heavier, the encouragement came from people along the way. And they'd hold up those signs. David, you've probably seen them. Slap this sign for a high five for energy or whatever. Do these different things for energy. People with their cowbells. I thought, man, that can sustain me. For how long? I don't know. Another block? Another mile? Whatever it is. It can sustain me as long as it needs to until the next burst of energy and encouragement comes along. Take encouragement from godly saints along the way. And as a reminder, I always like looking at these things. Am I the runner or am I the person on the sidelines? Doesn't matter here. Be an encourager, because there's a lot of people running the race and they're about gassed out. And they need your encouragement. They need your love. Pick up one of these out in the hallway that Nikki did last week from Falls Creek. Ask those teens about that. Romans 8, the three circles. Hey, tell me about these. You guys haven't forgotten them, have you? Okay. You know, there were some days I was like, uh-oh, we got a pop quiz. Always be ready, in season and out of season, to give your sermon. Okay? When you need to endure, take godly advice. But I'm telling you, just as important to that is giving godly advice. Not just to young people, to those that need it. Those that are still running and they look like they may be slowing down. Hey, I'm a little out of breath here. Hey, this is getting tiring. Hey, can I give you a word of encouragement? Don't point out, Adam, you run like you got concrete blocks strapped to your feet. I know that. I don't know how to make it better. Okay, but give godly encouragement. We have to be encouraged. Sometimes when we encourage, we end up just, we've turned it into something negative. Enduring to the end. Church, remove hindrances. Remove hindrances, remove stumbling blocks in your way. We're to remove the stumbling blocks from our path, and we're to remove the stumbling block from our brother's path as well. And then on the end, when you want to endure and you're struggling, focus on Christ. Focus on Christ. How's your sermon coming? Well, let's see. I'm not really discipling anybody. We have to be careful of that also, because we may not be ready to quite disciple someone because we're being discipled. That's okay. But also, let them, we talked about last week in 1 Timothy, let them see your progress. Let it be evident in the things you do. That's how we know you're progressing and you're almost ready to start discipling people yourself. But you can always, again, be a lifelong student. Always be a disciple. Constantly battle against the enemy. Today, if your sermon is shaky, focus on Christ. Man, I don't know where to start. You know, Eric, I remember you and I talking to Superintendent Jeff Johnson. We talked about different funerals at times. He said, at all times, preach Christ. Always. If you don't know where to go, preach Christ. If your sermon is shaky, focus on Christ. Look for someone to pour into your life, to invest into you. Make sure it's godly advice and pouring into you with godly advice rather than saying, forget that. Come on, let's go. You can go next Sunday. Let's go here. Let's go there. You don't have to go on Wednesday nights. That's not necessary. Make sure they're leading you down the right path. Look for someone you can pour into as well. Multiply yourself. Let other people pour into you. You pour into other people. Be prepared and be ready for battle. What does that mean? I'm looking for battle, but do I have the tools to fight it? I mean, I walk into the middle of the place and say, I'm ready for a fight. I've got nothing in my hand. Uh-oh, I'm going to be outnumbered. Okay, I've got to have all those tools that we mentioned earlier to have at my disposal and ready for that. And then endure to the end. It is hard to be faithful to the end. Anybody can start something. It takes a successful Christian to endure to the end. By the way, I had a note up here to pray for these pillowcases. Tina, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that at the beginning. Take time to pray over these pillowcases before they go to their end place. Endure to the end. Now, these are just a few things that Paul is talking about right there when he is writing Timothy. He says, Timothy, do these things. Here's where I am. He looked at his past, present, and future. When we look at this and say, where is your faith walk now? Where is your sermon? These things will help you in your sermon. Let me help multiply. Let me get people ready for battle. Young people, make sure that you are prepared for battle. Where's my tools for battle? Start right here. Start right here. Find something that you can latch on to. Be ready in season and out of season. Preach the word and fulfill your ministry. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come today to read about Paul's letter to Timothy. God, to understand what it takes in our faith walk. Lord, it doesn't all come easy. Lord, it is a challenge. There are battles. Heavenly Father, today I just pray that the church be ready to respond, ready for their sermon, that they're preparing their sermon. They understand its ministry. They understand that their life is their greatest sermon ever preached. God, I pray today that those that have a shaky sermon, Lord, that they would just look to you. They would start there by focusing on you. Lord, they would look to you. Lord, they would remove any hindrances that are in the way. God, that we would look for people to pour into our lives. But as we have opportunity and as we're ready and mature enough, Lord, that we would begin pouring into others' lives. Lord, as the Bible says, that the women would give young ladies godly advice and lessons. That the older men would teach the younger men. Lord, as we saw in the video last week, simple things down at Falls Creek, like them teaching our young men how to cook and how to grill. Those steps, just pouring into people. Lord, that we would encourage one another. But Lord, that we would be encouraged, that we would allow people to pour into us and encourage us through godly wisdom and advice. God, you are a way maker. Lord, you prepare a path for us and you make a way for us. Lord, one of the hindrances that we have to remove sometimes is ourselves. Lord, I pray today that those that are in the way of God's will, that they remove themselves so that God can begin doing a work in their lives. God, that we have a renewing of our mind as well, that we allow you to transform us. Regardless of where we think we are and how great we think the sermon is, Lord, that you can continue to grow us and mature us. Again, Lord, that we remove ourselves. Lord, today I pray if anyone needs prayer for whatever reason, Lord, that they would come forward. Maybe somebody wants to rededicate their life today. It doesn't have to be just our teens. It doesn't have to be just during Falls Creek. It can be today for you. Lord, I see a new, fresh awakening in my spirit. Lord, and I want to rededicate my life to you. Would you come let us pray over you today? Maybe you haven't given your life to Christ yet. Maybe you're not sure if you've done that. Would you come forward today and let us pray for you? Maybe today you need your heart to be mended. You need your life to be turned around. You need your heart healed. Come forward and let us pray for you. God, we pray these things in your Son's name today. Amen.